If you were in the place of God, what would you do in these situations? A family member is fighting a terminal illness which has numbered their days here on the earth. Wouldn't you use your mighty power to cure them of this disease in some miraculous way? Or friend, recently lost their job and is overwhelmed with anxiety, wondering how they're going to provide for their loved ones. Wouldn't you, in your divine power, put a job opportunity in front of them so they could once again provide for the ones they care about? Wouldn't you do a whole bunch of things like this because you loved and cared for them? Which really begs the question, if God loves us as he claims, then why doesn't he take away all of the trials, tests, and hardships that we face in this life? But more shocking than that statement is that as we look at our verses for today, looking at Abraham's life, we see that not only does God allow these things to come into our lives, we see that sometimes God is even the one who orchestrates them. Now, Abraham was the man whom God had called to be the father of his chosen nation, the Israelites. And when God called Abraham, telling him to leave his country and go to a land that he would show him, he also gave Abraham this promise: I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and all families on the earth will be blessed through you. And this wasn't just any promise. This was God telling Abraham that the Savior he promised to send all the way back in the Garden of Eden was going to come from his family line. But you see, God giving this promise to Abraham was really putting his faith to test, because there was one glaring problem. Abraham and his wife Sarah currently had no children, and they were also well past the age of childbearing. And this dilemma is something Abraham eventually brought to God, because it sure looked like a servant in his household was going to become his heir, and if that happened, then the promise would be completely nullified, which was Abraham's greatest fear. And so God calmed Abraham's fears by repeating the promise to Abraham, and this time specifying to him that a son who is Abraham's own flesh would be his heir. And while these words should have assured both Abraham and Sarah that God was eventually going to fulfill this promise, their faith was again put to the test, because years and years passed and still no child. And it seems like Sarah started to wonder if she was the problem, because God had specifically said something about Abraham, but God had never said anything about her. So Sarah decided to use a custom of the day, which was to give her servant Hagar to Abraham so that they could conceive a child. This plan, of course, showed a complete lack of faith, because it was trying to use human devices to accomplish a divine promise. And Abraham, too, showed a lack of faith, because he decided to go along with this plan that Sarah had devised. And what resulted was a mess of a situation where Sarah and Hagar were at odds with one another, and where eventually, years later, Abraham had to send Hagar and his son Ishmael away. But following this account, God once again repeated the promise to Abraham, and this time he made it very clear to him that Sarah was the one who was going to conceive this child. And again, their faith was put to the test, with years and years passing by and still no child. But this time, Abraham and Sarah remained patient and faithful. And after 25 years from when God first gave the promise to Abraham, they finally conceived a son that they named Isaac. And Abraham was overjoyed, not only because a son had been born to him, now, Abraham was also overjoyed because this child was the fulfillment of the promise that God had specifically given to him, and therefore this child was the assurance that God was going to keep his greatest promise, the promise that all nations would be blessed through him. And it seems like this would be a great place for the account of Abraham to come to an end. That after all of those years, God finally fulfilling the promise that he had given to Abraham so long ago. But as we see in our verses today, God had one more test for Abraham. And all of the others pale in comparison to this one. That years later, we don't know the exact amount of time, but could be anywhere around 10 to 30 years after Isaac was born, God had this to say to Abraham. Now take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains there, the one which I direct you. I mean, doesn't this seem extreme? This was the child that Abraham had longed for so many years, and now God was telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And this command was not only telling Abraham to sacrifice the son whom he loved. This command was also telling Abraham to kill off any hopes or chances that the promised Messiah would ever come. Because if there was no Isaac, there could be no Messiah. And if there was no Messiah, then nobody, not even Abraham, could ever hope to have a right relationship with God. I mean, doesn't this command just seem cruel and harsh for God to give to Abraham? And while this command seemed so harsh, we see Abraham respond in an amazing way. And as you listen to how Abraham responds, keep this question in mind. How could Abraham be so faithful to God? Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac his son. Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering. Then he set out to the place that God had told him about. And after what was certainly a sleepless night for Abraham, upon hearing this command, he got up early to go and fulfill the command. And we even hear that Abraham made sure to make preparations of cutting wood prior to their travel, which was likely to make sure that he would have no way of backing out of this sacrifice if there happened to be no wood at the place God had told them to go. I mean, we see no hesitation, no delay, and no debate. Abraham just faithfully obeyed. And we don't just see Abraham's obedience in what he did. No, we also hear Abraham's obedience and faithfulness in what he said. That as they were nearing the place that God had designated them to go, he spoke to his servants and he said this to them. Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go on over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. This wasn't Abraham tricking his servants so they wouldn't witness him sacrificing his son Isaac. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 actually gives us some insight as to what Abraham was thinking in this account, where it tells us that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Abraham truly believed that if God had him carry through with the sacrifice, that God could raise his ashes back up and the both of them would walk back down the mountain. And we also hear Abraham's faithfulness in a conversation that he had with Isaac as they were walking up the mountain. Isaac said to Abraham, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And Abraham's response really showed love for Isaac in that he spared him the gruesome details of what God had called him to do, but it also showed a confident trust in God, where he trusted that God would keep and fulfill his promise to send the Savior, even if he had no idea how God was going to carry it out. And once they finally got to the top of the mountain, after 3 days of this command weighing on Abraham, it was time. Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood, tied up Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And with everything in place, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slaughter the son whom he loved and longed for so long. The son whom he killed would kill off any hopes or chances that the promised Messiah would ever come. And Abraham lifted the knife and was getting ready to plunge it into his son Isaac when suddenly the angel of the Lord called from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." This moment, God knew that in Abraham's heart, the sacrifice had already been made. Abraham surrendered his will, wisdom, and even his son in obedience to the Lord. And God then did exactly what Abraham said God would as he and Isaac were walking up the mountain. God provided. Abraham looked around and saw that behind them there was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." So it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now God, in providing this sacrifice in the place of Isaac, really illustrated a principle that becomes more and more prominent throughout the Old Testament, and especially as we see Christ in the New Testament. And it's the principle of substitution. And when God would redeem the world, it would be through him providing his own substitute, sending his own son, the one whom he loved, into this world to redeem all. At the end of this account, the angel of the Lord speaks to Abraham once more. And listen closely to what he has to say, because it's in these we hear how Abraham was so faithful to God. The angel repeated the promise to Abraham, saying that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, and that in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Because you have obeyed my voice. Now, in the Hebrew of this text, the word that's translated obeyed is actually the root word for the verb to listen. So another way we could render this verse, the end of it, is that, "And that in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have listened to my voice." Abraham listened to everything God had to say. He didn't just focus on this one command from God, see him as a harsh and cruel God. No, his God-given faith led him to listen to all of God's word and to all of God's promises. It led Abraham to see the bigger picture and to know that even if God had had him carry through with the sacrifice of Isaac, to know that God would still send the promised Messiah and would grant him and all people a right relationship with God through his sacrifice. This is how Abraham could be so faithful to God. But now, seeing how Abraham could be so faithful to God, there's maybe still one more question that's been on my mind. That's, why did God give this command in the first place? I mean, doesn't it just seem harsh and cruel for God to command Abraham to do something like this, even if he was planning to stop Abraham from sacrificing Isaac on top of the mountain? I mean, what was God thinking? What was God's purpose? And while it might seem like God was cruel and harsh from our perspective, God actually had a very beautiful reason for giving this command. You see, God knew that this was the son that Abraham had longed for many years. And God knew Abraham recognized the importance of Isaac in God's plan of salvation. And because of these things, God knew that Abraham's love for Isaac very easily could have overcome Abraham's love for him, God. So this test served to benefit Abraham by reminding him to love God above everything else, even his own son. And because this is what God was doing through this test, that yes, while we see Abraham's faithfulness to God very prevalent in these verses, what comes through even more is God's faithfulness to Abraham and God's faithfulness to all people, including you and me. Because even though God has made it very clear and plainly spelled out for us that we are to have no other gods and love him above all things, he knows that our sinful hearts are going to try to lead us astray and put all kinds of things at the top place in our hearts. Wealth, possessions, spouse, child, reputation, job, whatever it might be. And while we all wish we could say we've been as faithful as Abraham was in these specific verses, I'm sure we've all seen times in our lives where that's the case. But this is where God shows his faithfulness to you. Because instead of letting your sinful heart lead you astray and having all of these false gods in your life, God sends tests and trials into your life just as he did to Abraham. Not the same command, but he sends very similar trials that lead us, or that have the very same purpose, to remind us that this broken world isn't our true home. And yes, while our sinful heart is going to try to deceive us into thinking that God is cruel, unfair, and selfish for allowing all of these difficult things to happen in our lives, as we look at God's word and see the big picture, we can see them as the blessings they truly are. Because the God who sends and allows tests and trials in our lives is the very same God who sent the Son whom he loves to serve as the substitute for all mankind. And as we heard in our gospel reading for today, and even throughout all of God's word, his Son is the one who never gave in to any temptation, the one who never failed a single test that God placed before him, and he is the one who obediently walked the path to the cross, so that as he shed his holy and precious blood for you, you could have the perfection of Christ. You could have the righteousness of God. You could have the forgiveness of all of your sins, because all of your sins were put to death on him. And because God sent the Son he loves to do this for you, you can know that the trials God sends into your life prove God's faithfulness to you. They don't call it into question. And you can know that all these tests will truly work out for your eternal good, because you have a God who desires nothing more than to keep you in the care of his hand and bless you with his mercy, grace, and forgiveness through the work of his Son, your substitute. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.